Oh. He was only 12 when he started with New Kids on the Block?
Yeah, we got lucky. We worked hard. We love to perform. You know, the five of us love to perform and love to, you know, get out in front of people.
It's been more than 30 years with ups and downs, and they're still going strong.
Donnie and I are probably the ones that have butted heads most. I've realized that tension is good, you know? That tension is good for the art.
The New Kids still perform together, but he also does big things solo. Tonight we're so far up, we're never coming down. New Kid on the Block, and also on tour now on his own, Joey McIntyre, on this episode
of The Pulse.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse, where we've got cool people doing cool things. And the fun part for me, I always love all the guests that we have on the show, but I tell you that there are different guests that come on that I have the long experience either listening to their music or watching their shows or kind of growing up as many of you did. And one of those people is on with us today from, what are we going to argue, one of the biggest bands of all time, Broadway or off-Broadway, touring right now, acting, Joey McIntyre, New Kids on the Block, and his own solo career. Join us on The Pulse. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. We appreciate you taking the time. Does it ever get old hearing people go, oh my God, like this is, I couldn't wait to talk to them or the experiences they went through or see what's going on with him? I'd imagine you hear that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's sweet. You know, I mean, the alternative, you know, could be very quiet, you know. It's better than crickets, right? You know? So we've been blessed. I mean, the New Kids have had, you know, quite a history, and we try to keep it fresh for ourselves and for our amazing fans. And you know, we also, you know, get to do a lot of things outside of that, you know, and it's nice to keep that balance as well.
It's an interesting point. I feel like if I had to spend half of the show explaining who you were, that's probably not a good thing.
Yeah. So
if we can just jump in and go right to it and everybody immediately has their, oh, moment, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot to cover, and you're on tour, and we'll talk obviously about that. Can't go through. It would be a whole mini series to kind of go back in the whole how it started.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
Should we do that?
The first Pulse mini, you know.
We're going to need to do it. We're going to need like concert footage and all of the behind the scenes and all of that. So I think a lot of people are probably familiar. But from your perspective, walk us back a little bit when this whole thing became reality. You're like 12 when this started.
I mean, I was 12 when I joined the band. Yeah. And I mean, we jumped right in some ways. We were also just trying to make it. And, you know, it wasn't like this machine that we jumped into. We were just five guys from Boston and I think a total of eight people sang for Maurice Starr, like over a span of a year. And, you know, it wasn't like it was an after school thing. You know, life was very normal. We got to be in the studio, which is very cool. We made our first album, but it was a flop. Nothing happened. And we started to get a little bit more of a vibe for ourselves, a little bit more confidence, a little bit more of a vision. And we got lucky. We worked hard. We love to perform. You know, the five of us love to perform and love to, you know, get out in front of people and prove ourselves. You know, back in the day, that's what you had to do. You know, you had to get in front of people and just pound the pavement. And, you know, you had to have some luck, too. So we had a little bit of everything.
It's interesting hearing you describe that as it was kind of normal. We were grinding. We were in the studio. We're performing. You're 12. Like, how is that anything close to normal?
Well, first of all, we didn't have shows like a lot. We were looking for the next show, you know, the next talent show. So there was pockets of time there. I grew up in community theater since I was like 6 years old. So to me, in some ways, you know, a stage is a stage. You know, it was just an opportunity to learn and grow and get out there and give it a shot. And I, came from a very, I had seven older sisters and lots of personality and lots of dancing in the kitchen. And, you know, we weren't a shy bunch. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, being on stage in front of people didn't feel too alien, you know?
So you knew pretty young that some sort of performance was what you were interested in, just didn't know it would be this.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. I mean, that's what I love about community theater still is, like, you know, a guy can, you know, have a suit and tie job, get off the bus and walk down to the theater and have a whole nother experience. And that's the beauty of it. And there's that for fun and for free aspect of it. You know, you're just there for the fun of it. And I have to remember that, you know, over my career, is that when I got, you know, anxious, or, you know, I got to make it, or I got to have a hit record, or I got to do this, is like, go back to just like the real love of the game. And, you know, and I think the new kids had that too. You know, it wasn't really about being famous. It was just about connecting with as many people as possible.
And yet at some point you're really famous. Like, you're kind of doing that. I had the pleasure of talking to some of the guys from New Edition and hearing some of their stories about being that young. Well, yeah, I mean, but you too, being
that young fathers
and going on world tours and, you know, women waiting for them in the hotels, and they're like, yo, we're 12, like we're 13.
Yeah.
And that whole experience, like, when did you kind of it all click that, wow, life really has changed?
I guess in some ways it felt like overnight, you know, that aspect to it. You know, when you're five teenage kids, you know how goofy teenagers are. You know what I mean? We're just acting a fool like wherever we can. And so you're dreaming anyways, you know, and suddenly your dreams are literally becoming, you know, reality. It was quite a time, you know. It was a good thing. I think we came from good families, good working class parents, you know, that kind of, the city of Boston kind of, you know, keeps you grounded as well. You can't get too big for your britches. And, you know, you speak to New Edition. I mean, we had, you know, the greatest example in front of us, you know. I mean, they were our heroes. We looked up to them, you know, before we were even a band individually, and then we're a band, and then we're looking up to them, and they've just been, I mean, such class and such grace and, you know, treated us with such kindness, you know, while being our heroes at the same time. So it's a recipe, you know, it's a little bit of this, it's a little bit of that. It's not just one thing.
So behind the scenes, those relationships that we see from a distance, and you talk about New Edition as kind of mentors and friends and, you know, Backstreet Boys and all these people you've toured with, mm-hmm. those relationships are legit relationships. So you guys really do have those.
Yeah. I mean, well, nothing compared to, you know, doing New Edition, because you're talking about, you know, the foundation of like what we do. And of course there's Jackson 5 before them and Motown and all that jazz, but you know, and then, but more of a camaraderie with Backstreet Boys and the guys from NSYNC. And, you know, anytime you can kind of, you know, chew the fat, so to speak, with someone who has seen and felt and experienced like what you went through, it's not like you sit around and talk about it. You usually talk about the locker room stuff, you know, and the goofy stuff and the funny stories. And again, it's a blessing to just be a part of pop history, period, you know, in some way.
A huge part. And I could start rattling off stats. And at the time, you guys were the top touring gross of all time at that point, and all of it, and sales and platinum and all of this. Having the chance to not be 12 anymore, like not be 15, 16, 17 and experiencing it. Do you ever allow yourself the chance to kind of sit back and realize the impact that you guys have had on the industry?
I think the legacy, so to speak, is how we were able to cherish and honor like what we had the first time around. You know, and it was tough because when you're the biggest, they want to take you down. And it was a different time then. You know, I think we're a little bit more open and loosey-goosey with like, you know, different genres of music. People don't hate the same way that they used to. It was like people were all in boxes. And so we you know, we took a lot of shots, but it hung in there. And then when we broke up, we didn't sell ourselves short. You know, so many people wanted us to put us together for this or an award show or whatever. And we always said no. And when we got back together, it was on our terms. Our fans were ready. And now to like be back together and, you know, do arena tour after arena tour and continue to grow and to keep it fresh and keep it exciting, I think it helps with the story. You know what I mean? I think it's a nice feeling to be around and have people talk about you. It's not like they're looking back and going, what about them? Like it's an interactive experience for someone like yourself to be in the know, but also, you know, we're still in the game at the same time. So there's a cool energy to that. I think it's better than, you know, just, you know, some reporter trying to, you know, get you on the phone because they haven't seen you in 20 years and wants to know about, you know, the olden days.
You know? Like the whatever happened to specials,
right,
that people are doing.
Yeah, they know exactly what happened. You know, they're up there on the stage. So it's like, oh, great. Let me ask him after the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a solid, it's an amazing impact. So my, behind the scenes, my producer is from Poland. So she grew up in Poland at a time where you guys were everywhere but couldn't go there. They were like communist bloc kind of areas. And she was telling me before the show that you guys meant so much to her, even as an adult, because the fact that you're performing and what you were just saying, she was denied the opportunity to do that when she was younger and can do it now.
Wow.
You
know?
So you hear those kind of stories. That has to be like, whoa.
Yeah, you hear that sometimes. And unfortunately, there was only so much time that we had. I mean, certainly communism and, you know, that coming down and, you know, whether it was allowed to tour there or not, you know, we only really, you know, we did the States, we did Japan, some Asia. We spent a lot of time in Germany and the UK. There was a lot of places we didn't get to go. So we hear stories from, you know, like your producer, what's her name?
Ivana.
Shout out to Ivana. And, you know, people, you know, we'll see t-shirts, like some person in like Africa wearing our t-shirt and we're like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Because we didn't tour that much. So it's kind of, it's sweet to hear that. I mean, you're just kind of a vessel to, you know, of the music and, you know, yeah, I guess you can't think of it too much because it's just, you just feel like you're lucky to be a part of it.
Yeah. So with, and so you're touring now and have your own success, millions sold as a solo artist, still doing stuff, you know, every year together as a group. So tell us about, you're on the Freedom Tour, have the Freedom album that was out, doing well on the charts. What's that about and why the doing both?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's important for me. I got to, you know, I got to balance it out. I mean, the name of my album is Freedom, and, you know, freedom's a big term, but, you know, this is about personal freedom and like carving your own autonomy, you know what I mean? And having your own path along with what I like to say is like abundance can be a bit of a gilded cage too. You know what I mean? Like you have a great job, say someone's at a job for 25 years, been dreaming and doing something else, but you got to pay the bills and you're grateful for it. You know what I mean? But how do you, you know, make your own time like little by little. And for me to make a whole album, I've made a lot of records over the years, a lot of music. It's been 15 years for a solo album, but I've written for the New Kids and in a lot of one-offs, but to sit down and finish a complete album was a great accomplishment for me. And I was able to speak of that energy of like a bit of a chip on my shoulder about like, you know, what about me? You know what I mean? And like, just say that out loud. Cause I think we all do that. You know what I mean? No matter what our circumstances. And I'm glad that I had pretty much the courage to get honest about that and then also share it the way I am now. And perhaps I can have both, you know what I mean? Perhaps there is a middle ground. And because the more I take care of myself, the more I can show up for the new kids as well in those experiences.
It's an interesting perspective. I've said to people a lot, and it's hard for people to understand that wanting more and having personal goals and things that you want to accomplish is not the same thing as being ungrateful for where you are and what you've already accomplished.
Right.
And that's a challenging balancing act for people to kind of figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that. You know, I think a lot of people, and some people, you know, to each his own, but I think we have to thine own self be true, you know, and balancing that and, you know, figuring out that, you know, it's no one's fault. You know what I mean? It's no one's fault that you're where you are, you know, because we can kind of point fingers and if this and if that, you know, and it's nice to just get to work on what it really is that's kind of eating at you. And I was able to do that with this album and this tour, too.
So people can get all the details. Follow him on social media. I feel like that's the best way, or his website or what have you. But in Philly on April 23rd at the Theater of the Living Arts, here in Philadelphia, what are we going to see on the Freedom Tour?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I was talking about, you know, being a theater kid, I kind of, I guess, pride myself, for better or for worse, like I'll perform anywhere. You know what I mean? As my dad would say, wakes, weddings, and bar mitzvahs. You know what I mean? It's just like, I love to perform and I love to connect. And, you know, the last time, you know, I was in Philly was more of a cabaret vibe, but this is in more of a club feel. I wanted to do what's right for the music and portray this in the way that's in my head. So I'm bringing my own stage. I'm bringing my own lighting. It's a much bigger production, much bigger hall, which is a little bit more complicated, more work. But like, again, I'm glad that I'm doing what's right for the artistic vision. And I'm excited. I'm very excited. I mean, Philly, of course, I had to play Philly because I always do. And so many memories there. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So you're doing Philly and a lot of other places. So for people who are not watching in Philly, watching nationally, there are a lot of opportunities for you to see him on the tour. But then the ongoing, you know, performances continue. So you guys have a Vegas residency.
Yes.
Also. Yeah. So lots of opportunities to see. That's cool. That's kind of the, okay, Vegas residency.
Yeah. It's become like the music mecca now, you know, and I feel like, you know, we have arrived already, but when you're playing that kind of a big residency, it's an affirmation of all the work you've done to get there. And, you know, we just try to back that up. We try to not, you know, take all that goodness and work for it and to build a show. You know, we always try to make, you know, tours that are great and have great themes and great energy and keep it fresh. But to be in Vegas with all the bells and whistles and build a show of your dreams, basically, is it's so cool that it was still on the table. It's something we haven't done in all these years. And, we can feel the excitement within each other, within the group. And I think when we're excited, then the fans are going to get excited. That energy is infectious.
It's pretty interesting that there's still bucket list items that you guys are checking off.
You know,
after 40 years or 30 years of doing this.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big one. So timing is everything. And it's nice that this was still on the table and it was something that we could jump into.
I think it's also nice for people to see, and you tell me, I was on your Instagram page and saw, you know, you were just in at Wahlburgers, Wahlberg, and supporting each other. I think it's cool for people to see from a distance. It seems like you guys still legitimately like each other and supporting each other.
Yeah, we do. I mean, the thing is, we've always chosen family and friendship over business, and that's not the easiest call. You know what I mean? That takes more work, actually, when you choose that over, you know, business. And, you know, it hasn't been easy. It's been any relationship that this long. And it is sweet because, you know, Donnie and I are probably the ones that have butted heads most. I mean, not probably. We have definitely been the two that have butted heads the most over the years. And it's been sweet that, you know, we've been able to spend time, you know, lately, and he's a great supporter He's a great patron of the arts. You know what I mean? He really is. He just loves to make things. So he's always saying yes. And yes, to your point, he hosted a couple of listening parties, and I'm glad that I'm getting honest about where I was coming from with the music. It's not a secret. You know what I mean? And I'm surprised because it's interesting. You know what I mean? To, you know, share it with the person that might have put one of the chips on your shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I think any relationship that's, you know, makes things, I think I've realized that tension is good. You know, that tension is good for the art. You know, that means you're trying to work things out. And it's been fun. And you know, speaking of like New Edition, sometimes I'm like, yeah, it's like I always used to love like when Bobby and Ralph would get together, you know what I mean, for something like a solo thing, or that would like light me up in a different way. You know, it's like a bonus. So I have to remember that as a fan, that I think our fans like that too.
The fans also, and you guys have over the course of the year, a couple more questions, and I appreciate you spending this much time.
Oh yeah, yeah, for
with
sure.
Us. Like over the years, there have been everything and TV shows and documentaries and behind the scenes, but you mentioned New Edition and that mini series they did and how real and raw and kind of open. Like I saw an interview with them where they said there were things that in that mini series that they didn't know, you know, had happened with the group. Any interest in being that open, you know, and providing that level of access to people?
I think so. I think, you know, we have had the, you know, some documentaries, mostly, you know, the VH1s and stuff like that. But I think we haven't done, I mean, that's actually one thing. Again, there's not many things left on the table, but like a proper documentary is something we haven't done. So I think we're talking about that. You know, there's so much there. And I think we've articulated over the years, you know, some great stories of like where we came from and how we were formed and what influenced us, and, you know, Boston in the 80s. And, but we've never really captured it properly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's on the table. We've been talking about it. So that, you know, we're thinking about that for sure.
Love it. We'll have to get you back when that's all in the works, and we will do all of that. And hopefully when you're in town, stop through. Two more questions and I will let you go. Best way, I started kind of mentioning it, but the best way for people to get tickets, more information, all of that, is it the website, social media?
Yeah, joeymcintyre.com. The website will get you the link to the tickets for the Freedom Tour. And I'm at Joey McIntyre on Instagram. I hit X every once in a while. I'll post something, but I'm an IG guy, so that's where you can find me.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of X anymore. It feels like X is the place you go to hear what people are angry about.
Yeah, it's a bad neighborhood. Yeah,
I'm good. People who live there, like, that's, you know, I'm no disrespect to your neighborhood. I just choose not to. Yeah, you know, to go there.
Instagram's like the suburbs. You know what I mean? And X is like, you know, in town, down the alley.
Come and have a real conversation. Yeah. Every episode of The Pulse, the theme of the show is use your voice for good. So we ask every person, the last question for every person is, what does that phrase, use your voice for good, mean to you and your career?
Watch your language, for one. Watch your language. You know, when you watch your language, I think you articulate better. You learn how to pause. And, you know, I think, you know, that's, so it's using your voice. It's almost like a how, not a what, right? Because the messages are out there, but how do we deliver that message? You know, is it with kindness and understanding and empathy? Or are we just trying to elbow our way in there and trying to push people around to get our way? So, you know, I guess I'm lucky, you know, I get to make music, and I have a lot of opportunities to use my voice, and, I just try to stay humble. And, you know, my biggest, my Achilles heel is like, you know, I can get a little diva every once in a while because you're out there and you're touring and, you know, people are, you know, there's my cup runneth over and, you know, so that's what I, to balance that out. Cause normally most of the time I do have the opportunity to use my voice for good. And, I think most of the time, you know, I do a decent job with that.
I appreciate you spending this much time. Philadelphia, April 23rd at the TLA, but all over the country. Go check out the Vegas residency. Yeah. All cool things going on. Joey McIntyre, thank you for your time.
Thanks, man. Nice hanging out.
Appreciate you. All right, before I let you go, Ivana just walked in the studio. She wants to wave or say hi or whatever.
Hi.
He's saying hello.
How are you?
I can't hear
you.
She
said, how are you?
I'm very good. I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for 30, almost 5 years of memories. And to you and the boys, I love you all very much. And you mean very much a lot to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Always a blockhead. He'll make fun of me later.
Yeah, I probably will make fun of her. But it makes perfect sense. And just the context that she was able to provide, you know, was like, huh. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. That one was fun. The New Kids on the Block and New Edition and all of those groups, some of them were people's guilty pleasures, right? You didn't want to admit that you knew and liked so many of the songs that bubblegum pop at some point. But they're still cool stories. And for them to be hanging on, doing their thing 30 plus years later, it's just cool and fun to hear those experiences. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Do me a favor. I always ask you to do this. Just hit the button, like, subscribe, follow, whatever it says on your screen so that you get a notification every time a new Pulse is available. That's every week. I encourage you to download the Fox Local app. All of our episodes are right there at your fingertips. Take us with you on demand on your smartphone or your tablet or what have you. Watch those episodes wherever you are. You can hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. Always love to hear from you. And I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.